The Old Testament reading is written in Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Like the partridge that gathers a brood that she did not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by justice. In the midst of his days they will leave him, and at his end he will be a fool. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Behold, they say to me, 'Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come.' I have not run away from being your shepherd, nor have I desired the day of sickness. You know what came out of my lips. It was before your face. Be not a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let those be put to shame who persecute me, but let me not be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but let me not be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is written in 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for midweek Lent 3 is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter, as it was just proclaimed from the lectern. If you were to do something wrong, and you were asked if you did it, and you said no, that's called denial. Denial is a form of lying. You knew you did the wrong thing, but you denied it. You lied. One of the followers of Jesus, one of his disciples, Peter, clearly knew Jesus. He had been with Jesus for 3 years. But Peter would say at one point, "I do not know the man." And he would actually deny knowing Jesus a total of 3 times. After he denied knowing Jesus 3 times, Peter remembered that Jesus said he would deny Jesus. And it made Peter feel so bad that his denial, that he wept bitterly. Did you know that there are times when both children and adults also say that we do not know Jesus, that we deny him? It's when we're mean to others. It's when the children don't listen to their parents, or adults don't listen to other authorities. When we do such things in a roundabout way, we're really telling those whom we hurt, or you're telling your parents whom you don't listen to, "I do not know the man. I do not know Jesus." Jesus, however, saw that Peter was saddened by his denial of Jesus. And he sees when we are saddened by our hurtful thoughts, words, or deeds toward others, and as well as the children's not listening. He sees this sadness, and he desires that we put those sins of hurtfulness, of not listening, that we put that denial on him. He desires that by telling him and those whom we have hurt, he desires that we tell them and him we're sorry and we would like forgiveness. In God's Holy Scripture, it proclaims, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9. So when we deny knowing Jesus by our hurtful thoughts, words, and actions, or not listening, the only way that sin is ever dealt with — you can't sweep it under the rug, you can't just forget about it, think that it's okay, that it'll just go away, and that's how sin is dealt with — the only way sin is ever dealt with is by the power of God's word bringing us to be sorry for those sins, confessing them, getting them off of us, and putting them on Jesus, who fully paid for them and desires that we receive his payment of them, his earning the forgiveness of sins. He desires that we receive that forgiveness. That's what happened with Peter. Again, that was the children's version. Hang on, here comes the adult version. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. That is what Peter said. He loved his Lord. He could not imagine the intense love that he felt for Jesus ever being insufficient. But the Lord knows what is in man. And in fallen mankind, there is fear. And above all, it's a fear of death. Fear of death, as Hebrews 2:15 puts it, is how the devil keeps man in bondage. So the Lord tells Peter, before it ever even happens, that it will happen. Not once, not twice, but three times, Peter will be given the opportunity to confess his Lord. And not once, not twice, but three times, Peter will instead deny him. Among the wounds that afflicted the Lord during his passion, surely the denial of his beloved disciple Peter figures large. And among who of mankind has not added to that wound? For opportunities to confess your Savior have arisen time and time again, at every hand, all the time. At how often Christians pass them by in silence. It might be said that the silence denies him. Isn't your fear the same? The fear of death? The fear of the death of others' respect of you? The fear of the death of their friendship? After all, who wants to befriend a religious fanatic? The fear of the death of your reputation? For what will others say about you if you are known for speaking up in a confession of truth for the Lord? And so the silence is a type of denial, just as surely as saying, I do not know the man. But hear, listen, hear now of God's establishing for you a place of refuge. As God's word proclaimed in Jeremiah, a glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Here's your sanctuary. We like to think of it as this. All of this points to our real, true sanctuary. Jesus goes into his passion to be wounded for your transgressions. The denials of him, they need not result in his denial of you, for he has carried them to death. So where you Christians have denied him, he made the good confession before the high priest, before Pontius Pilate. Jesus did not let the fear of death deter him, and we do well to ponder that, his lack of fear. We do well to ponder that. For though the Lord hates death, despising it and scorning it, he does not fear it. He came into this world to destroy death. He came among man to let death devour him, so that by falling into its grasp, the one over whom death had no claim would destroy death forever. And so his people would be set free from their slavery, set free from death. It's Standing before the high priest, Jesus knows what is about to happen. He knows that he will yield his life up upon the cross, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to his Father. His blood making full payment for the guilt of your sin and the sins of the whole world. And Jesus also knows and rejoices that his Father will never abandon him to the grave. Although death takes him, death's bands will be burst. Jesus does not fear death, because death will never be the end of him, nor will it be the end of anyone who is joined to Jesus by faith. Peter had only heard that Jesus would be raised from the dead, but before his eyes he beheld Jesus being taken away, Jesus being treated horribly. Before his eyes he beheld Jesus being beaten and being turned over to be crucified. Peter's heart cringes and he trembles and fears. Rather than confessing his Lord in peace, it's in the terrors of death that Peter denies him. And as the fateful rooster crows, Peter recalls how his Lord said it would be so. And Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. Peter wept bitter tears for his own fear and sin and cowardice, but he did not despair. Here, Peter differs from Judas. Did Peter recall the look in his Lord's eyes when Jesus brought him to remember? When Jesus said, "Remember, I told you that you would deny me, and I was right, and so you have. But remember that I also told you I would rise again, and I will be right about that too. I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fails not." Now stop and think about the same Peter who is revealed through the Holy Scriptures on the other side of the resurrection, on the day of Pentecost. The man who at one point cowered before the serving girl and her friends, but now boldly proclaims to the crowd that day in his very first sermon, "This Jesus whom you murdered by hanging on a tree has raised from the dead. And we," speaking of the apostles, "we," the apostles, "are all his witnesses." Acts chapter 5. What stands in between his cowardice and his boldness? The resurrection of Christ and the coming of the Spirit. And so it is with you. You who hear the Word of God, who read the Word of God. So it is with you and those who have been baptized. There in the waters, combined with God's Word, you are promised by that word to be placed into Christ crucified and promised to be raised with him as the guarantee of a life that will never end. In those waters, the Holy Spirit descended upon you, even as he descended upon Peter and the other apostles at Pentecost. And by the power of God's Spirit, they were brought from being quivering cowards to being bold confessors. What changed was the confession of faith. that Jesus truly has destroyed death's power by enduring it, that he has atoned for all of your denials by his good confession and by his suffering and rising for you. Years later, Peter would be told, he would be demanded that he deny Jesus one more time, deny his confession to an emperor who demanded it, deny it one more time or die. And in the grace of God, Peter refuses. He went the way of the Lord. He too was crucified. And though according to church tradition, he did not even want to be compared to Jesus, so he asks to be turned upside down. In the end, Peter looked fear of death in the face and conquers it through Christ. You cannot scare me at this time, death. I know my Redeemer lives, and I know you have no power over him. I believe he has atoned for my sins and conquered you, death, and I am in him, and his body and blood are in me. My sins are forgiven and blotted out. My life is secure in him. You lose, death. Even as you take me, he's turned it into a portal to eternal life. I'm not afraid of you. Not anymore. Well might Peter's prayer have been that day what all Christians can sing, and you have sung tonight. My shepherd, now receive me. My guardian, own me thine. Great blessings thou didst give me, O source of gifts divine. Thy lips have often fed me with words of truth and love. Thy spirit oft hath led me to heavenly joys above. May the Lord always bring his word and such a confession to ever be upon your lips. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.